This is Old School here, wishing everybody Happy New Year and Happy Holidays. Hope everybody had a safe and happy holiday this year. This is going to be our 2013 year in review. It's going to be a two-parter. And just a quick heads up for everybody who hasn't seen a lot of the movies this year, there will be a lot of spoilers on this episode because we do go in depth for all of these movies. So if you haven't seen Star Trek, Gravity, Man of Steel, all the bigger blockbusters, I maybe recommend you might hold off. But if you haven't, well, here you go. Enjoy. This is the 2013 Year in Review, Part 1.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon.
Stop all the downloading.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, the year-end review. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News.
Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net. So without further ado, let's introduce our massive panel for this week. We're actually live. Start off with that douchebag himself, Mr.
You're a jerk. Ren.
D-bag Ren.
All his names for me. You're a jerk.
We got Kebo Trek.
Howdy.
And we've got our little pirate Gallifrey.
Hello, Z.
You're doing a heavy set there. All right. Let's get straight into it. It's going to be our top five movies for this year. And we're actually going to be talking about the Huffington Post list, their top 17 of 2013. I'm actually not a fan of half of these. Two of us don't actually have laptops. I'm going to name out some of the movies. Anybody see Saving Mr. Banks?
No. Nope.
Just released. Or...
Nope. Yeah.
Their number 16 was Spring Breakers, Kev.
Oh, God. That was the worst movie of the year.
How the hell would they put that as number 16?
It's because it was, like, artsy.
You think?
Yeah, I think definitely, because it was a terrible movie.
Booze. Yeah, it could be booze,
exactly.
It's true. You know what? The thing is, I think it's because Franco was nominated for a Best Actor, or there was rumors about Franco possibly getting nominated for a Best Actor.
No, that was more just him trying to, like, kind of up himself.
What, do you think he went on Twitter and started...
Well, that's it. He tried to, like, do a self-campaign to get himself
is
nominated.
Is that... Are you serious?
Yeah.
It fooled me.
But you know what? I think part of the reason I didn't like it is because I was expecting more, like, debauchery and nudity and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and,
but just because of Selena Gomez, well, yeah, you wanted to see her nude.
She left, like, 20 minutes into it, so I was like, why am I watching this?
That's true. I mean...
Dude, is she even over... is she?
Yeah,
over
she, no, she's legal.
Good to know. So D-bag to D-Ren.
Poor guy.
Douchebag. So, D-Ren, what do you think this was thrown on the top 17 of Huffington Post?
Again, like Kebo Trek said, it was an art house film. The director, Harmony Korine, did, I think it was Kids. I'm getting mistaken if it's Kids or Bully. Or he's that type of director who does these like very artsy type movies. So,
got Fruitvale Station as well. Anybody see that?
No, but that looks awesome though. It's a real life story about the shooting on some sort of San Francisco train line. So I heard it's really good.
Okay, big surprise number 14, Iron Man 3.
No.
I think that's just because of box office, or just I guess
because it's Iron Man.
Yeah.
No, but it was so bad.
It was bad. It's terrible. Definitely my least favorite of the three.
I found it better than number 2, though, and that's not saying something at all.
That's true.
Really? They botched Mandarin.
It was a Tony Stark movie with a cameo from Iron Man, pretty much.
And let's throw in an annoying kid in the movie, too.
What I didn't like was how flimsy his machines were. What the hell? We went through two movies seeing how awesome they were, and in the third, it's like, they're not advanced or improved, they're just worse.
Yeah.
Right? Each one gets destroyed, like, so easy.
I hated that scene at the end with, like, the 40 of them. It just it kind of takes away a bit of the specialness of Iron Man when it's not so special.
I think it was put on the top just because it's the highest grossing movie of the year.
Maybe, yeah.
So it's got that recognition, but...
But it's kind of like what the Voyager did with the Borg. Yeah. Star Trek reference.
Who saw Hunger Games?
Me!
Okay, that was number 13. Well, you seem pretty enthusiastic about it, so why do you think it got on the list? What did you think of it?
What I loved was the first half. Anything before the actual fight started, which I loved, because it was so emotional. I cried so much. I don't know if it's just me, but I was in tears for the entire first half. Up until they got to the island, and I'm like, oh, okay, I've seen this, all the fighting.
So it's a chick flick with arrows, pretty much.
Wait, no, there's also Liam, oh wait, yeah, right, there's Liam Hemsworth. That's for chicks.
Oh,
yeah.
How about the guy who's called PETA, and it's pizza. All these references to bread?
Pizza.
Didn't Carl mention that?
Poor PETA. First of all, he's not as handsome, and then he doesn't get the love. He doesn't get love from what's her name?
So she's the total cock tease in this, you're saying?
Yeah, she was. She kissed both guys, man.
Was there shaky cam in this movie?
Shaky cam, I didn't notice.
Okay.
From what I've heard, not as much.
Not much.
Okay. Yeah, Karp was saying it's not too much in the second one. Number 13, number 12, Her. We played a trailer for this. Joaquin Phoenix.
I don't remember that.
This is about it's having a digital girlfriend.
Oh,
so,
right, yes, yes.
Yeah, so it's the one.
Wait, this sounds like.
Thank you, Peanut Gallery.
This sounds like a ripoff from some Japanese movie I've seen.
Okay. Well, I mean.
A robot for a girlfriend?
Yes.
Well,
it's not a robot.
It's Siri.
It's, yeah, it's like having a search engine as a girlfriend. And, yeah.
Oh, I saw that trailer. Yeah, it looked cheesy.
Gallifrey, you talking about Cyber She or something? She Cyber?
No, I'm not even going to say the title. It's too embarrassing.
Say it.
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Simone's kind of like that, too.
Simone is kind of like, but it was actually, yeah, in this case, you don't actually see the main actress in it. Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street was number 11. And this makes me want to see it even more now, because the fact that it was going to be NC-17, they cut it down. DiCaprio.
Which version are you referring to then?
This is getting. Wow, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it would probably be the release version. It would have to be the release.
Well, they just recently cut it, so I'm guessing if that would be the version that they would give it to give to the screeners.
But what they had to cut was mostly, like, I think, sex scenes. Anyway.
Yeah, so it's just less fucking, but
yeah, you know, but I don't think it's going to have a relevance to how good the movie is.
You're allowed to swear on the show, by the way. Francis Ha? What the fuck is that?
That was an excellent movie.
A lot of these, I haven't heard a lot of these. 12 Years a Slave, number 6.
Yeah, definitely.
They're really good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Will said he really liked it. Kebo Trek liked it. Captain Phillips is number 5.
I saw Captain Phillips. Why is it number 5? I think Hunger Games was better than Captain Phillips.
Because, yeah, there wasn't a lot of action from what Will said either, so.
Well, I guess because it's based on a true story, and people really fall for that kind of emotional, you know.
Yeah. Well, Tom Hanks did a good job, no?
Who?
Tom Hanks.
Oh, he's the main guy.
The guy in the movie that you watched?
No, he had a lot of beard going on. Yeah, he's fine.
A lot of beard.
He was fine.
Inside Llewyn Davis. I've heard of this as well, but I haven't seen it.
It's caught out.
Coen Brothers.
Coen Brothers?
Limited,
okay.
Very, very limited.
Gravity number 2, and I think it's going to be on somebody's.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. That's good.
Is it just good because of the visuals? Like
no.
Say if I watch it on DVD, would I still
put
it on my top 5?
You lose something not seeing it on screen.
Okay,
but it's still a fantastic movie.
I saw it on screeners, so I love the story. I love the characters.
Okay,
I agree with Kevin.
And this is a movie I want to see. American Hustle. This looks really good. Huge cast.
Yeah, it's. I think it's going to be a fantastic movie, and
of course Christian Bale.
Well, yeah, well, from the greatest Lawrence, but
Batman,
I mean,
the greatest actor ever.
You've got a thing for this guy.
Bradley Cooper's in there.
Oh, Bradley
Jennifer
Cooper.
Lawrence.
Oh, now you want to go see it because of Bradley Cooper.
Why are you just talking about the men?
Yeah, what about the women? Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Adams.
Yeah, Amy Adams.
Jeremy Renner.
and Amy Adams is sexing it up too in the trailer, what I saw. That's the list according to Huffington Post, but I know our top 5 is going to vary big time. Let's start off with our former Iron Man, Kebo Trek. Let's get your top 5. You're giving it to D-Ren?
I will go last.
Oh, really? Okay. So let's start with D-Ren. Let's get your top 5.
Okay, so I guess I'll start with number 5.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why did you start from number 1?
Why would you start from the most important one?
I don't know. Okay, so I kind of chose a movie because all my other movies were more serious and, I guess, depressing, some of them. So
you leave a very interesting life, dear.
Yes. I chose something fun, and I know a lot of critics don't agree with it, but I chose Kick-Ass 2.
Kick-Ass 2. Yeah. I saw it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as the original because I just love that. Like, it was so fresh it was something new with the storytelling, and just the vulgarity of it was shocking to people. It wasn't so much in the second, but I just love the whole like teaming up concept. I love Jim Carrey as Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Even though he denounced his role in the film.
Yeah, that was just after the shooting, I think, right?
Man,
the
he school shooting.
Yeah.
That movie.
So, but you know, I just loved it. I mean, we didn't get enough Hit Girl. I mean, I could go see a movie.
Yeah, because she was all like confused girl, pretty much.
One. Yeah. Like, it should have just been her.
But it was funny. It was, you know, Mother Russia was in it.
She was badass in this.
Yeah.
And just that anticipation, the build up to that final fight with Mother Russia and Hit Girl.
Yeah.
It's just like that, oh shit, here we go moment.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my number five. I really enjoyed it. It was a great sequel, and I can't wait for part three, which I think they're going to do. So my number four is it's kind of obscure one. It was one of the trailers I posted. It was Escape from Tomorrow.
Okay.
The one that was illegally shot guerrilla style in Disney World.
Oh, that looked boring, though. That's,
you know what? I think it's one of those movies that are polarized. You either really love it or you really hate it. So it kind of reminds me, it was shot in black and white because of lighting purposes. So it kind of reminded me of like a David Lynch film, like had like dream motifs. And it's about a guy who lost his job at Disney World. Okay. And he's in the last day of his trip, so he starts being paranoid and seeing things. He's chasing after two underage girls, being obsessed with them. So I thought it was really well done. And, you know, it looks like they actually, like, you know, had a crew and shot there, but they shot there with, like, just
guerrilla
like
style, right?
Guerrilla style. Okay. And I love how they kind of pervert Disney World, so that's pretty cool.
Did Disney find out?
Disney didn't find... They found out afterwards. I mean, this guy, the director, went to South Korea to do the FX.
Okay.
And Disney decided to not pursue it. They choose
could if they wanted to, could they have pursued it?
Could they? Yeah, they could have, but they chose to ignore it. They thought it wouldn't be as
make more sense to ignore it then.
Like, as a PR thing. So
okay, so you'd figure people would want to see it. It's that whole Fahrenheit 11
idea, because
they tried to get rid of it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but I mean, it only made $175,000. But you know, it's a low budget thing. It was playing at I think it was like Sundance or Slam Dance. I'm not sure which one. But
Slam Dance.
There's one called Slam Dance. There's one called Slam Dance.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
It's
an
all Sundance.
Yes.
If you were Disney, what would you have done in that case? Would you have gone against it?
Probably not, because it's not getting a lot of recognition. It's not making more than $1 million.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, when they release it on DVD or Blu-ray, if it gets to that stage, whether I'd love to get to hear the commentary and see how they did it. I know they use like iPhones to do the scripts and everything, and they brought people in the same time.
Do you see, like, when they're cutting the movie, people are like looking at the camera, like, what's going on, kind of thing? Or
yeah, you know, I mean, like, people were unaware. They didn't have like big lighting rigs or anything.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why they shot it in black and white. But artistically as well, it worked, because it made it look like more of like a dream nightmare type.
But if they accidentally got some people in the movie, wouldn't they have to pay them as extras?
I don't know the legality of that, but I mean, the fact that they're doing this illegally, I mean, you're supposed to pay the site, obviously, when you're shooting,
right?
Yeah,
so I guess at that point, they just said, fuck it.
But but I mean, it was a good story. It was, it was very enjoyable.
I would check it out just, I guess, out of the curiosity factor.
Yeah, so you'll either love it or hate it.
All right, let's get your number three.
My number three is going to be Gravity.
And is this because of the visuals, again, like we discussed earlier?
I mean, partly, but I've seen it on screen, or I didn't watch it in a theater, so I didn't get the 3D full, like, IMAX effects type thing. So for me, it was mostly about the story and, like, Sandra Bullock's character's emotional journey. I mean, she talks about letting go and stuff like that, so... And it had me at the edge of my seat for the whole movie. It was, you know, I thought it was going to be a very slow-paced movie, but I just found myself, like, just, like, wanting to know how she's going to get out of the situation. There's one other point I wanted to mention. I forget it right now. Maybe I'll...
One of the things, like, you mentioned the action, but I like that it was more of a, like, a cerebral action. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, it wasn't so much as... Like, it
wasn't big set pieces, you mean?
Yeah, that's it. It was more like her against the elements, but it wasn't like, I don't know, just, it felt real.
It was her fight to survive.
Yeah, that's it. And it wasn't like gimmicky, or there wasn't too much, like, there was the one thing with the pieces of the ship, I guess, and all that.
Piece of ship.
But mostly it was just her, yeah, her trying to survive, her struggling with her fears and all that. So I thought they really did a good job of adding suspense without adding, like, elements like, hey, here's an alien, or, like, I know that's going extreme, but, like, here's a Russian rogue thing that's in space that's going to attack her. Like, it was more her kind of fighting her environment, and it was very cerebral in that sense.
Yeah, I felt like it just happened to take place in space.
Exactly.
It didn't need to be. We're watching her emotional journey.
And I love the fact that, like, you know, in some movies, they play, like, space scenes having sounds.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, that's fake. It's done for Hollywood. Or even where I've seen movies where people hold their breasts in space and, like, they're flying through the air, but it's...
I heard breasts as well.
You said breasts. You said
breasts. They hold their breasts in space. I'm like, okay.
Okay. So, sorry. Hold their breath in space. You know, so people do that, and it's so fake because once your skin touches the
vacuum,
you freeze completely. They did this in Mission to Mars, I think, so that was pretty...
Let's get you number two.
My number two is going to be it's one of my favorite books, Ender's Game.
Yeah, but are you just choosing that because you like the book?
I like the movie, too.
Okay.
What?
Jack, yeah, that might be on my top five, sir, guys.
Okay. It wasn't just because, I mean, I liked the book. I had a few problems with it. Like, it felt rushed. Like, I felt like the movie could have been 6 hours long.
Holy
shit. Well, because there's, like, a lot of zero-G gravity battle scenes. And it just, to me, it felt like, because I read the book, it felt rushed. But, I mean, the character was spot on. Seeing him train to be a commander and the flight school, I guess... senior staff trying to kind of isolate him from the whole group because he's supposed to be this leader, not form these emotional attachments. I really like that. And Harrison Ford did a good job as the Graf, I think.
Colonel
Graf. So, they hit all the right elements. They had the little game that Ender played, and the sets were really well done, and it was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
They did a good job as the adaptation.
Good choice.
And you're number one.
My number one is going to be... it's coming from December 2012. It's Django Unchained from Quentin Tarantino.
Okay. And this is... I enjoyed the movie. And I probably should have put it in my top five as well. Because it was just... and Tarantino does a good job of, like, attacking the most hated thing.
Yeah.
And then just, like, drilling a nail into it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But it's a fun movie, too.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. It's a Western, which I love. And I love that Quentin Tarantino is kind of like the master of the dialogue and the character interactions. So that on top of it being a Western, and it was good acting, little cameos. And Christopher Waltz did an amazing job, but still my favorite performance. It wasn't Jamie Foxx, it was Leonardo DiCaprio as the villain as Candy.
Really? I thought Waltz stole the show.
Really?
Waltz was,
he did a fantastic job.
He did a really
good
job. We're talking about
DiCaprio.
The
other guy.
DiCaprio
did do a good
job. He was amazing in everything he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's true.
The old guy that shot DiCaprio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he was great.
All right, so let's throw it to our little pirate, Gallifrey. Let's get your top five for this year.
Okay, my number five is Olympus Has Fallen.
Ooh.
Definitely considered that.
Ooh.
You got a reaction from the panel.
I like simple action movie, and this is basically what I imagine a diehard to be. You know, it's just Gerard Butler, throw him in a problem, and he can fight all the villains and just get away and save everybody. That's what it is. And Gerard Butler, for me, you know, sold it because... You know, they develop him, you know, very quickly. Okay, he's this guy who used to work here, and now he's kind of trying to retire or do something else with his life, and he's thrown into the situation where he's very familiar, and he saves the day. I love it.
It's what White House Down should have done.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, though.
Same movie.
You didn't miss much.
It looked like the same movie,
Tatum
funnier.
Came out first, though?
Yeah, it's just the same movie, but yeah, Tatum in it.
Yeah, I think it was... I knew Olympus Has Fallen came out first, saw that first. I was all right, okay, I don't want to see the next one. Awesome. I don't want to have to compare the two of them.
Cool. And they're making a sequel. London Has Fallen, I think.
Really?
Yes.
That's like,
is it going to start Liam Neeson?
London is falling down.
I have
really?
A special set. Yeah, we know the drill.
It made money, so it's
London
taking place in England.
London has been taken.
Is it London Bridge that's falling down?
That's
that would be awesome.
I already made that joke.
Starring Fergie and...
But it's something on the lines, London has fallen, or London... It could be London Bridge has fallen, I don't know.
Fucking lame. What, does he switch the accent now?
Well, he doesn't switch the accent,
he's Australian, right?
He's Scottish.
Oh, he's Scottish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Scottish.
I think he goes with the president to, like, England and something happens. Same type of shit.
Jolly good. London has fallen.
I was okay.
There you go.
Has fallen or is falling?
Has fallen.
London has fallen.
Has fallen.
So it's already fallen. They're fucked. It's all.
So
let's get your number four.
Okay. My number four is World War Z with Brad Pitt.
Oh!
No, go away! Go away! away.
You go away with your movie
picks. First of all, I love zombies when they're made to be zombies and they're supposed to be scary.
It's like Walking Dead.
No, that's not scary.
Or Resident Evil.
Oh, shut up.
Just got to mention.
Resident Evil is fine. It's
Thank
good.
You.
I like it.
Yeah, there's no
Evil.
Zombies in it.
Hey, what are you talking
what
about?
What do you mean? There's a bunch of zombies.
Yeah, if there was like two in the first one.
What? There's a bunch of... Okay, whatever. So, World War Z. I love this because it wasn't just zombies. I'll tell you why. Brad Pitt, I was surprised. Why is he in a movie that looked like a B movie with zombies? It wasn't. Because it was a man who was a soldier, and he's just trying to be a father and save his family and his kids. And I love that emotional part of that.
And but here's the thing with that, right?
And he infects himself with gonorrhea.
We don't know what he infected himself with.
Okay, regardless of gonorrhea, okay? Here's the thing. I hate that fact that the entire world's falling, and Brad Pitt is the most important thing. Like, who the fuck is him? Like, why should he be focused on? And why is that one person so important of all the billions of people who are fucking dying?
But the movie tells you, though, he actually looks
for an answer. Hold on. Yeah, it's true that we're just following one person's point of view. And, you know, in some ways, that is flawed. Because my one major flaw for this is that he's the only one who discovers that, hello, sick people are not being attacked. I mean... How come no one else around the world is discovering that sick people are alive and well
hospitals.
Before being sick?
It's because they're not Brad Pitt.
Yeah, anyway, that's my one my major
thing. Wait, did it have anything to do with the fact that the doctor is in this movie?
What? No, of course not. No, I wasn't thinking.
Is that why you like
that? That was another bonus. I have, by the way, when we zoom in on the WHO facility, I was like, wait, what? WHO? That was really awesome. And, you know, the Capaldi was there. That was pretty cool. You know he's the 12th Doctor, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, just in case you didn't know. Just in case. What? Peter Capaldi, he's going to be the 12th Doctor. It's
That's
amazing.
Great.
Okay, all right.
You're Carol.
You know what?
What?
I'm going to be getting into the second season. Because the first season, the reboot, 2005, I hate that Doctor, that 2005 Doctor.
You hate Christopher Eccleston? I'm fine.
The guy with the short
gonna
hair?
Kill you.
Yeah, he's a piece of
Will's
shit.
Will's going to kill you.
So, like, I was getting bored after the first three or four episodes. I'm like, this is shit.
But it
and then from
in.
What I'm told, Heavy Set says it kicks
it
in that
kicks,
second
it,
year.
It becomes great.
So
just
hang
the
in
second
there.
Half. Hang
so,
in there.
So, because it's not continuous, I'm just going to, like, get rid of that first season.
No! You cannot do that.
Wow,
you
it's just like I stuck a knife in you or something.
You must watch some of the important episodes, and then you must watch him die. Because
yeah, you have to watch him die.
You have to
See,
watch
I'd be,
him
I'd be fine
asshole.
With him dying. That's
you, yes, watch him regenerate into okay. like this beautiful man named okay. David Tennant. No. So, yeah, that's why I like World War II.
Okay, it's game number three.
My number three is Gravity. For all the same reasons that D-Rad has proposed, and also because I felt that it was such... it felt larger than life, this movie. Yes, it's in space. So yes, Alfonso Cuarón got to play with all of those elements, you know, 3D and the spatial elements. But I love the fact that, yes, that was just the setting. The main story was about Sandra Bullock and her fight to survive because she was feeling like, she doesn't know what to do with life. She's depressed, blah, blah, blah.
She did a great job in this, apparently.
She did. She was the main lead, the female lead. I mean, George Clooney was there, but I mean... You know,
Clooney?
I loved Clooney. I was so sad when he, you know, whatever.
Wait, what?
You know.
Spoilers.
Stuff happens.
Oh, but yeah, I think stuff it should start happens. This episode with massive spoilers here.
Yeah, massive
this
spoilers.
This is the year-end review, so.
You should have seen this movie. If you didn't, go, you know.
Yeah, check
go
it out.
Go what?
Go fuck yourself, Keith.
Essentially, go fuck yourself because we're spoiling it.
Yeah, love Sandra Bullock. My favorite scene was at the end because when she falls down... into the ocean. You forget that when she's in space.
Hold on. Aren't you in space?
Wait, hold
okay.
on.
Okay. It ends on Earth.
When Sandra Bullock gets on land and her first steps, her trying to stand up was both a physical accomplishment and a mental kind of accomplishment because she has to stand up and live her life now, and also she has to get up again because she's been like in space for many years.
Yeah. Because there's gravity now.
Yeah, there's finally gravity, and gravity was pulling her down, and she's struggling
yourself,
to try and stand up. And you, okay. There you go. I love that scene. That scene right. at the end.
Awesome. Number two.
My number two is Star Trek Into Darkness.
Wow. I didn't think you'd rate it that high. I didn't think you were a Trekkie.
I'm not a Trekkie. That was my first Star Trek movie.
Okay.
In the second.
You know, I think that goes to show, but the new franchise, we had mentioned this in the first one, where it has that broad box office appeal.
Yeah, because if you notice, well, D-Ren didn't have it in his top five, and I'm not going to have it in my top five, and we're both big Star Trek fans. But it's interesting, it's bringing in more of a new audience.
Casual audience.
While maybe somebody, the hardcore Trekkie audience, you know, isn't liking the movies as much as...
But they're still going to go see it.
Oh, yeah, they're still going to go see it. But yeah, and in the end, it's good because it's bringing new fans.
And it makes sense for Abrams to do it like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're going to have the diehards go see it anyways, and you get that broad appeal.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, as much as we love the old Star Trek, it was dead in the water, and this is bringing new life into it.
I love the fact that now a new audience gets to enjoy Star Trek, and this is my first movie. The number two is actually my first time watching the Star Trek anything. So, first of all, I got into it because of Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm a huge fan of Sherlock, the BBC series.
I wonder why.
No reason. No, it's British. Anyway, so I really love the movie. My favorite is the death scene. Sorry, major spoilers. When Spock... No, not Spock. Sorry, wrong guy. Young Kirk is in that that room with all the... what is it?
Radiation
that killed him there.
Like in Doctor Who.
I finally saw where that came from. That was the same scene that they
replayed.
Yeah, they replayed again. That happened in the first the old Star Trek series.
Because you didn't know about it.
I didn't.
It was fresh for you.
It was fresh. And I'm like, this is where they're pulling this from. They're referencing. Doctor Who references Star Trek because David Tennant, spoilers, the 10th Doctor, kind of dies in a room full of radiation.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect scene. And so I really loved that bit in the Star Trek Into Darkness. Also, the beginning was tremendous. It was beautiful, phenomenal looking in that little island that they were in. A different planet.
Yes.
With the volcano, beautiful to look at.
Yeah, the visuals were outstanding.
Ironically, the scene you mentioned that you love so much is one of the ones I hated in the movie.
Same here.
Like, it wasn't necessary.
Oh, here we go.
I'll give you just quickly my problem with the Star Trek.
From a Trekkie.
From Into Darkness is, course, like, the first half of the movie, it went in its own direction. It wasn't Star Trek 2. In the second half of the movie, it turned into Star Trek 2, just reversing certain things. But for, like, they just, it's, they basically copied the movie at the end instead of kind of going their own way. And maybe it was just some of the iconic scenes, like when Spock yelled Khan and things like that. I know you marked out for
it. I loved it.
But, like, to me, I thought it was just, are they really doing this? So it's like, as a Trekkie fan... It just, that stuff didn't work for me.
But you were excited when we mentioned there could be a possibility of Khan. Originally, you thought that was great.
No, I never wanted, I don't know if you remember.
Really? No, I thought you said,
No, I never wanted Khan, but both me and D-Ren wanted Gary Mitchell to be the main antagonist in it. No, I definitely didn't want Khan.
What the fuck's Gary Mitchell?
Exactly.
Wait, you didn't like that they were paying homage to the old series?
Well, it wasn't that they were paying homage, it's that they were basically carbon copying it. Just changing things around.
But reverse, alternate universe. So in alternate universe is another character that goes into that room.
No, but it didn't work. It's like, why are they doing this again? Just get your own story.
They're being cute.
That's the problem. As a Trekkie, I didn't like that.
All right, let's get your number one.
My number one is Side Effects.
Interesting.
What?
Ooh.
Yes, you know, because most of my list has been action, and so this one makes it number one because it's psychological.
Okay.
It's Jude Law, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and that girl with the dragon tattoo in the movie. Whatever. Wait, Channing,
Carp is now our Wikipedia for the scene.
Carpopedia.
Channing Tatum is in here? Oh, I never know.
Oh, don't worry, he doesn't know that for long.
Anyway.
You know why this movie wasn't good? You need more Tatum.
Probably did need more Tatum.
No, Jude Law.
It actually
Law
needed
really
more
delivered.
Of his wife, not Tatum.
Who's his wife?
Who's his wife?
And
it's a Jenna girl from that dance movie.
Jenna Dewan?
Dance Twilight.
Ridiculously hot.
She's not ridiculously hot.
She's ridiculously hot.
You haven't, no.
No,
we've always disagreed.
I have taste.
You have she's ever, hot.
Hey, look up Summer Brielle on Google.
Who?
Summer Brielle? Nothing? No?
No.
She co-stars with James Dean often.
We just don't agree on women. Anyways, we're digressing here. Please, Gallifrey, go ahead.
I don't want to spoil Side Effects. Oddly enough, I spoiled
you
every
spoiled
other
everything else.
No.
That's the only movie our audience is not going to go see. Don't worry about it.
This one is important. The twist is the whole
movie. Is she a man?
No, but... Okay, just trust me. Go see Side Effects. You know, and just watch it. I loved it. I love the fact that I was able to guess. No, first of all, the movie kept me guessing.
Was
and
that
eventually
that
one of my guesses
one?
Was like...
With the drugs.
Yes, Jude Law is a lawyer, and he's dealing with people who So a lady is accused of killing her husband because she was depressed and she was taking drugs that he prescribed. Okay. Yeah, but it's not what you think at all. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. Great story.
Aliens,
go watch it.
Right?
Side effects number one. What?
Aliens.
Aliens.
What aliens? No aliens.
No aliens.
No. No psychological.
Is it a Western?
No. It's a drama. It's a drama.
Like Arab.
That goes back to like episode 3. Don't worry.
It's a good movie. It's
all right. Thank you very much, Gallifrey. All right, so D-Ren and Gallifrey have left us, but we have two replacements. We've rounded up two more of our panelists. We got Cart back this week. How you doing, brother?
What's up?
And we've got Will.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I'm going to start because Kepo Trek wants to go last, he says.
But I mean, there's still I can go or Cart can go.
So you don't want me to go?
No, you can. By all means, please, let's go.
Kev's just playing pass the buck. That's all he's doing.
It's true. I am. What does that mean?
Because he's still thinking of his top five. He's not sure yet.
No, I know my top five.
All right. My number five, Jack Reacher.
Really?
What? Yeah. This is why I like Jack Reacher. It's a smart action mix. It's like a Bourne series for me.
So it's like Taken?
Yes. I've always been a fan of Tom Cruise, and I know he gets a lot of crap in the media, and people aren't a fan of his. But I'm actually a huge fan of his. And I thought he was just perfect in this role. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
Don't plan on it.
Like, the action scenes are fantastic in it. There's very little shaky cam. It's realistic fighting where he's hitting ligaments and stuff.
Yeah, it's very
kicking,
cool.
Kicking people in the balls. Like that, for me, I enjoy a smart action movie like that. And I don't know, I just... For me, it brought me back to that Bourne series, and so...
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of, like, close combat and, like... Like, you know, not, like, these 20-minute kind of... Like, where they're dodging all this. It was very close elbow to the, you know... Elbow to the leg or elbow to the something like that.
It's so, realistic fighting.
It was definitely realistic fighting.
And I like the fact that he only takes a pension. He lives off the grid. He pays everything in cash. Like, that, to me, that's... I like intelligence in my action movies. So that's number five. Number four might surprise you as well. Pain and Gain.
Yeah, you mentioned
this. With
what's this year?
Mark Wahlberg, The Rock, Anthony Mackie. This is a story of a trio of bodybuilders in Florida get caught up in an extortion ring and a kidnapping scheme. I was a huge fan of The Rock's performance in this.
Oh,
Wahlberg,
yeah.
Wahlberg had a solid performance, but The Rock really, to me, stood out. I thought he was the best in this movie.
Did he actually play someone other than The Rock?
Yes, or? Of course. Well, I know he plays,
plays The Rock in every movie.
He plays The Rock.
You know, where plays that kind of underdog kind of guy who fights against oppression or whatever, against like a town or against... Yeah, I understand. That's his kind of roles. No, he totally went against the grain with this.
It's the extreme. It's... Well, I mean, it's been long enough, so I guess no spoilers are spoilers are leading, but
he dies
when the Rock's character starts doing coke and like freaking out. It's some of the best acting I've ever seen from The Rock.
I mean, this is a Michael Bay movie that I liked.
Yeah.
Explosions?
No explosions.
No explosions.
How is that a Michael Bay movie?
There are a lot of sex jokes, though.
There's one explosion, the truck explodes.
That's true.
There are lots of sex jokes.
He had to throw something in there.
Yeah, but I mean. Michael Bay on $20 million proves that Michael Bay can actually make a really good movie.
Yeah.
Except for Transformers 3.
No, which was a lot more than $20 million.
On $20 million can make a good movie.
Yeah. So, Pain and Gain's up there for me too this year. It was just such a great movie.
And for me, I liked it because I'm into kind of dark comedy. And so there's a lot of comedic stuff, probably that a general audience wouldn't laugh at, but I liked it because it was a bit dark. So, it's my number four. My number three, Man of Steel.
What?
Yes.
No.
Excellent
what?
Movie.
What the fuck?
Excellent
you guys
movie.
Are all Great fucking
choice.
Nuts.
He's British.
Henry Cavill.
Okay, wait. I want to hear you. Then I'm going to just go first. Go ahead. That was cool.
Okay, first of all, the cast was insane.
That's true.
You got Kevin Costner, Amy Adams, Russell Crowe, Henry Cavill, and
Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne.
The thing is, the supporting cast, as in the Dark Knight movie, Batman trilogy, did a great job of enhancing the movie.
Yeah, perfectly.
And that's, to me, these comic book movies, for them to do well, you have to have that solid supporting cast.
I agree.
It really felt like a big budget blockbuster.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Just like, it seems like they did not waste a cent.
They didn't.
And all that, the fighting was just fantastic. And I'm not a comic book guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a Superman guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they make it a bit dark interested me in the fact that, of course, the producer of this.
Yeah, I see what's going.
You know what I mean? So,
but old school.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the worst movie of the year for me, but the worst scene of the year is in Man of Steel. It's the scene when Kevin Costner tells Clark, stay back, I'll get the dog. Why would he do that?
Sacrifice,
that
made no
sense. Man. Sacrifice himself for the dog?
Sacrifice.
I'll tell you the thing I didn't get. See, my mom watched it, and her reasoning in it, to make herself like be able to sleep at night well, was that, well, the kid really liked the dog, so that's why he saved it. And that's the point. The point, I'm guessing, is that he wanted to make sure that if the tornado was going to kill someone, he'd rather it be him, because if it didn't kill Clark, people would know that Clark is Superman. Was that the idea?
That's what I got from it. Yeah.
But Clark could just struggle out of a tornado. Like, he could have easily just pretended to, like, get away, like, just so, you know, just in time, instead of, like, dying in a tornado.
Yeah, but the thing is, previously, there were so many other episodes that could have been icing on the cake.
Yeah, but he eventually came out anyways. Why does he have to sacrifice himself for just, like, 5 years later? Oh, by the way, Dad,
I mean, when he's in the moment, he didn't realize all of this stuff. He just sees tornado, he sees his son.
But you see the way he goes away? He just, like, puts his hand out and just, like, slowly disintegrates. Like, there was nothing. Like, he doesn't go, like, ah, tornado! It's just, like,
this
stop.
Tornado
then,
is killing
yeah,
me. Oh,
killing.
God, this
yeah,
tornado
yeah.
It, is
this
killing me.
This
made
no fucking sense. No offense, old school.
Yeah.
Also, what do you feel about the neck breaking?
Spoilers!
Well... yeah, okay.
I'm gonna do a
plan. All right, Captain, spoiler alert.
Yeah, please.
I'm gonna adore at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what about the neck breaking thing?
I had no issue with it. He had to do it.
Now what about all the dead people in Metropolis?
Yeah, that's kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
Back to my, I like the fact that there's consequences. Where the fact that there's
but not
like,
for him, not for him.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
But that's the thing. That's,
if that fight didn't happen, all the Earth was going to get destroyed.
So he sacrificed Metropolis to save the world?
Well, he had to do something. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, obviously he didn't want to, but if the choice is letting the whole world die and trying to beat this guy, I mean, in the end, it's not... And I know that, yeah, like, it's not...
It's fun because because it is his fault that the guy went there
yeah.
to begin with.
Yeah, right? That's true. Well, it's not Superman. I guess it'd be the father's fault, wouldn't it be, technically?
But it's he's the reason
right,
why that's
right.
happening.
But, you know, I understand the reasoning why Superman, like, the choice between letting everyone die, it's, you know, the needs of the many. And I know, like, more in, like, a comic book thing, Superman's always, like, the good guy. But the problem is, those kind of movies don't sell anymore. So you have to add a bit of that, like, grayness to it, a bit of that darkness. Like, we've seen that with...
But old school, didn't you hate the product placement as well?
That was a thing I did drop points for, but...
Because, like, it was in Sears and U-Haul and IHOP.
Well, I wanted to show it. Because
World War Z wasn't a huge ad for Pepsi or nothing.
Okay, that was really horrible.
But for me, the setup for the DC Universe was more important.
So
and
what do you mean setup?
Last point.
What was the setup then?
The setup for the Justice League now. The fact that they only had, really, Batman as their only franchise that was doing well. Now they can go on top of that Superman. They got Batman there. They're going to be introducing Wonder Woman. So this was the lead into that.
I'll give you one thing that I did like. The villain. There was a reason for him to be... he wasn't being villainous. It's just that the fact that he was coded with having to restore Krypton, it made sense that he would destroy all of Earth. It wasn't like, I'm evil, so I'm going to kill Earth. So I will give you that. That was a good intention.
Another one that might surprise you, my number two, stand-up guys.
Oh, that's cool! I'm very happy.
Al Pacino, Christopher Walken. To me, it was these two at their best. This is their for these two guys, it was just perfect.
But Walken wasn't very Walken-ish. He was much more subdued in this film.
He was. It was like you're having a conversation with Al Pacino and Christopher Walken. Okay. This is like how they would act in real life. That's what I really like.
Okay.
It was slow paced, but I enjoyed the action in it, and it just the story was fantastic to me. It's just that the old guys trying to relive what they once had, and have it, is it Alan Arkin?
It's Alan Arkin, yeah.
Having Alan Arkin in it too, just the back and forth between those two guys was good. They had very solid chemistry. And I really enjoyed the ending too when we spoiled everything else. So
it's very cathartic.
Yeah, I don't.
It's just a very cathartic ending where it's everything you want.
They just said fuck it right after the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, because he was supposed to kill his friend, they said fuck it, we're going to go after the person who told me to put the hit on you.
Which is what you want to see the whole time.
And
like you're hoping
for it. Was that feel good kind of thing in the movie where I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the most underrated movies of the year.
Well, I think it sucked. Now, what's number one, old school?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh,
what?
No. bitch!
It was great to see the second installment on screen, and I'm not as hardcore a fan as Kev Butrek or D-Ren or whatever. So, to me, the chemistry between Spock and Kirk was absolutely fantastic. All just the camaraderie.
Bromance! See,
the bromance.
Well, there's also the. It was also. I would say three way. That's not a good word to use. There was also a horror. You know
triangle,
what I mean? A triangle. Well, not a triangle, but just that good. He was in between them, and he would always, like, you didn't want to be between the two fighting, which is very funny.
That was, yeah, you kind of had that comical part, like, where they were in the shuttle pod and they were kind of arguing. It was nice to see the throwback of all the characters. And, you know, you bashed Khan for being in the movie.
But who's you? Because you just kind of, like, pointed at me, yeah, but the audience might not.
Who cares if it? Kev Butrek bashed the fact that Khan was in the movie. I wanted Khan to be in the movie, and I marked out when Khan was in the movie. All the lines, when they redid the scene with Kirk doing Spock doing it with Kirk instead of vice versa, because Wrath of Khan is my favorite movie, or was one of my favorite movies of all time. So,
really?
Yes. So to see that reversal was really cool. And I think Quinto and Pine has really come into the character now, and he's finally gotten out of that Shatner kind of spotlight. He's taken over Kirk, I find. Same thing with Quinto, too. I think Quinto's really got into the character. So it's my number one movie of the year.
Who plays the better Khan, Montalban or Cumberbatch?
Cumberbatch.
Oh, I didn't ask. No, I didn't ask Gallifrey.
No, I'm getting a really dirty look from Gallifrey, so if I don't say Cumberbatch, I might get in trouble. I thought Cumberbatch did a great job.
Yes.
Lies.
He's not my favorite Khan, but he did do
There's
it.
There's only two Khan.
I'm trying to sugarcoat it a bit.
He's not my favorite one.
I think he did a great job in this movie, being the antagonist. And that's, again, it goes to the acting. Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. Who's McCoy again?
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
It's just, I know he's doing an impersonation of McCoy. See? But it's so good that I really...
I'm going to really disagree with you.
No, but see, I watched the old Star Trek, too. Yeah. Because like Gallifrey said, which is a really awesome feat, that this movie made her actually want to go back to the original series. And I watched them with her. And I looked at McCoy. He pulls up. That's what McCoy does. He is a comical guy.
Here's my thing. In the first movie, I thought McCoy did the best job out of everyone. Like, he was spot on. Like, really just, he got the character completely. And in the second movie, he just became, to me, he was, I'm saying to me a lot. He was
to
just,
you?
You said it for 60 episodes.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So he just...
He also said...
Not much. He also said not much. Watch this movie. It's a good movie.
No, but he was one note to me. Like, the first movie, I thought there was depth in the character. Obviously, Leonard Nimoy's character had depth. And in the second movie, just always that sarcastic comment, always that comment. So I would have liked to see a little more depth.
The thing is, and this is my argument to that point, is that Wrath of Khan was all about the back and forth between Kirk and Spock.
Yeah.
So this
Kirk
is,
and Khan, you mean?
No, Kirk and Spock as well. It's the play on the two. This is how they had their bond, you know?
Right, and
this,
I agree. The bond
that's
was
what
fantastic.
Started the bond. So for me to put too much McCoy into that,
would have
overshadowed it.
It's not that they put too, like...
No, that's what I'm saying. It's better that they didn't focus too much on him.
But it's not that they focused on him. It's that they made him one note.
But again, it's because they didn't want to put too much into that relationship because they wanted to enforce...
But it's not just the relate. I'm talking about more the character as, like, just as a character, not in context of the three
of them together.
Kev,
I will give you this. The fact that the difference between the movies is that the first film with Khan took place later in their careers.
Yeah.
So you had this great scene where the doctor goes to see Kirk, and they have this nice back and forth about the fact that he's old, but yet he still wants to be a cowboy. And stuff, things like that were missing in this movie, but it's because they're not there in their lives yet.
No, but it's not just like... It feels like the first movie, they got McCoy. The second movie, they kind of just reverted to it, and all the kind of depth that the character has was just erased for me. Like, they just... They'll make him say the cynical Southern line, and that's pretty much his whole job.
But that's his job in the movies anyways.
No, he does more than that. And, like, the first movie, they got it spot on. It was perfect. And I would have liked to see more from him. More just character development, more depth. Not just, oh, he'll say that funny line and everyone will laugh because it's McCoy.
Again, but I think they focused McCoy to be more of a side attraction. And yes, they probably could have been more into the character, but I think Abrams' focus was to have that, to emphasize that relationship between the two. And yes, I see what you mean. The fact that they kind of, they could have put more in depth to the character. But it didn't bother me because of the fact that I was focusing on the Kirk and Spock and having Cumberbatch in there as well as Khan, I thought it was great. So, all right.
What about John Cho? Nobody mentioned him.
No, not much to mention there.
It was uneventful.
He's just an unimportant ethnic. Yeah. I mean, nobody really cares.
Well, it's like the guy who played Chekhov.
Chekhov, yeah.
Like, he's there. It's more like an impersonation.
Yeah. That was a fun joke, though.
There's a
scene where he's, like, not buying the red shirt, and, like, Chekhov's like, oh, fuck, the red shirt. Yeah. But I know you also like the aliens that they introduced.
You mean the Klingons?
Klingons, yeah. You said you really like
the Klingons. Were well done.
Yes, thank you for reminding me, actually. Yes, I love the fact that they brought the Klingons into this. I mean, classic Star Trek villains. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to end part one there. Part two will be released next week at the same time. This has been Old School at the Movies, episode 68. Thank you very much for listening.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.